Welcome to the That Healing Feeling podcast. I'm your host, Faith Ashenden, founder, CEO, and master mindset coach. I'm obsessed with helping you awake the healer within yourself so that you can step into a reality wilder than your wildest dreams. Join me in training your brain, rewiring your subconscious, and changing your inner world so that you can heal. Let's dive in.
This episode was so much fun to record because Ali Benar is kind of one of those people who you meet on social media and you feel like you've quote unquote known forever through DMs, but you actually haven't met in person. And so it was so fun to chat with Ali and just have like an open, candid conversation as if we had been friends in real life for ages. If you follow Ali on social media, you will know she is an absolute queen. She is the founder and CEO of Oat House, the world's first spreadable granola butter, which is so freaking delicious. I used to demolish a jar per week when I lived in the States. But we actually took the conversation today in a completely different direction. Now, you might know Ali as someone who is really open about her journey with her body and body positivity. She goes on a lot of podcasts and talks on Instagram all the time about recovering from an eating disorder. She's super open and honest, and I think that's one of the things that makes her so unique and successful. You really feel like you're listening and talking to a friend when she hops on her stories. And she's just so open about her healing journey and the steps she's taken. More recently, she's been really open about her healing journey from a spiritual standpoint. And that really caught my attention because it felt like Ali and I were reading a lot of the same books and having a lot of the same epiphanies at the same time. And I'm not sure whether or not it's a little bit of, you know, COVID making us all a little bit more introspective, whether it's that we're in a sort of similar-ish space as entrepreneurs. And of course, as a business itself develops, you feel yourself personally developing in tandem. So there's a lot that resonated with me about where she is right now. So I thought, let's just get on a podcast completely unscripted with no agenda and just talk about, you know, any spiritual and healing epiphanies we've had. Ali also has Hashimoto's, you know, I've had Graves. So we similarly share this autoimmune struggle that we've healed from, among other things. And, you know, it was just really interesting to dive into what we've learned, how it's applied to us in the chronic illness space, how it's applied to us in the entrepreneurial space, and things we'd like to dive into, all the woo-woo things that we still want to explore and what lies ahead on the healing journey. So she is such an amazing, down-to-earth, kind, sincere soul. And I'm really excited to share this episode with you. And I hope you enjoy. All right, Ali, I'm so excited for this podcast. Thank you so much for coming on here today.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun.
I know, I feel like we've been talking about it or teasing it, but not only is it difficult as an entrepreneur, but then like we're not on like opposite time zones, but like US and UK time zones, like add in the extra complication.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I actually did one with a woman in Australia too. And that was wild. I don't even remember when we did it, but it was either super early for her, or super early for me. And we just were like, yeah, we're going to make it work. And I know it does add a little bit, but it wasn't so bad. For us, I feel like it was, you know, not like, I don't know, 6-7 hours maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's better Eastern time zone wise.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
To sync up. Australia is a doozy though. I have some clients there too. And it's always like the end of my night and they're just waking up and we're like,
oh, yeah.
Wild, you know? Well, I'm glad we made it happen. And I'm really excited because I'm sure like anyone listening to this follows you on social media. And if they don't, they should. And obviously, I'll link that in the show notes. But you share so openly on your stories about just like everything. It's so real. And I feel like everyone has this to say about you. Like, you feel like you're listening or talking to a friend. It's not scripted. It's not like pre-made story slides, whatever. And one of the things that you've been sharing a lot about is this like healing/spiritual journey that I felt
so connected to because I've been going through something so similar just in my life. And I feel like it always for me is like in tandem with my business growing. Like it's just a reflection of like that internal work that I'm doing. And I resonate so much with what you've been saying. Obviously, I've asked you for like book recommendations or I'll be reading the same thing as you. And so I was like, we have to just like come on and have a conversation. I would love to like just hear more about like what prompted this and what you're learning and where you're going and all of that. So that's kind of what I'm hoping we can dig into today. And I just feel like it's just going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Oh, I am so excited. It's funny because as we evolve and as we grow online, it's, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but for me, it's been difficult because, you know, you start to talk about one thing. For me, it was my eating disorder recovery, body image, food, all that stuff. And then people sort of follow you for that. And then you feel sort of like confined in this box of like, well, I'm not really passionate about those things as much anymore. And there's other things that are really interesting to me and I want to start to explore and talk about. And yeah, just for some reason, when you make your income on social media, that feels scary because you're like, well, are people going to leave or are they going to whatever, not like what I'm talking about. And it's just been so reinvigorating for me to be like, fuck that. Like, I'm just going to do me and I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about and explore what actually interests me in real life. And so, yeah, that's kind of the reason for like a little bit of shift in content and just things that I've been talking about is because in real life, like it's truly as I'm going through it. And like you said, the healing journey has been something that I've sort of quietly been doing behind the scenes for almost a year since November of last year. And it was one of those things that I really actually didn't want to share about when I was like deep, deep in it, because I felt like I share every other facet of my life online. And I was like, let me just keep one thing private. For once in my life, I'm like such an oversharer. Just historically. And so, but then there was just this calling and this feeling, you know, one day I literally woke up and it was like this voice inside that was like, it's time to just share what you've been up to. And so, yeah, it's been something I've been really interested and invested in the past almost year, but it feels more recent because I've just started talking about it. But yeah, I'm like excited to dive into it because it's really something that excites me currently. And obviously body image and all that will be very important to me always, but it just feels like not current for me right now. It's just sort of like something that's maybe been more in the past.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting point though, like that identity shift when you are your brand and you have this like specific niche, because yeah. I also felt very much the same when I launched and I was like in the thick of it in my journey with physical issues that I was healing. And I attracted like all these people who loved that in this really, in whatever way that comes across. And then I was like, well, I kind of don't want to talk about that anymore. That's not in alignment with like where I want to be and who I am now, but am I going to like lose everyone? Is that on brand? Like, but it makes sense because I feel like the healing journey, and we go through this in like my programs as people are like finding healing. They're like, well, now that I'm healing, like who am I? That's that like identity piece. And like my entire identity is shifting and you have to like peel that away in order to like step to quantum leap and take that next version of yourself. And I feel like I'm seeing that a lot in either I'm seeing that because I'm looking for that, or that really is happening right now. And like more people are kind of waking up to that, this like massive like identity shift crisis, whatever, in all of these people as they're unbecoming this like niche that they were in or whatever that propelled them towards, I don't want to call it like awakening or waking up or whatever, I guess, but at the same time, in a sense, that's what I feel is happening to so many people that I'm connected with. And I think it's really, really interesting. And obviously like COVID and all of that, like I think played such a huge part.
100%. Yeah. Cause I think what happened with during that time for me and for a lot of people was like, it just gave you a little bit of shaking up, you know, it kind of shook the foundation of just what you've always done or what, you know, was routine. And then it was like, everyone took a step back and was like, wait, what am I doing? Like, you know, what is my life? Like, what even is control? I think it brought up a lot of feelings of like, none of us are in control of anything. And that was like a huge piece of my psychedelic journey, which we can talk about, but like this surrendering of control, like that was a huge thing. Even just going through that process of, you know, taking psychedelics, I was like terrified because I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, 8 hours of like my brain doing something, like, you know, I was like, I can't control anything. It was just the ultimate surrender. So yeah, I feel like lately it's been just this yeah, almost this awakening. I have seen a lot of people too, even on social media, just changing what they normally talk about or shifting gears. And I love that because, you know, even though something has worked for you in the past or it's interested you in the past, like we're all meant to change and evolve and grow. And I would be like, I look on the past, you know, with such fond nostalgia of like my college years, but I'm like, I would never want to be back in college, like drinking out of a plastic, you know, plastic vodka, like out of a plastic handle. So yeah, there's just like, I don't know, but it's scary for people to change too, which I totally understand.
Oh, evolution, like evolving is not fun. And mm-hmm. I think we only have to look back at how we evolved in general. Like we didn't want to have to like sprout wings. Like it wasn't like comfortable to do these things, but we were forced to in order to become a different version. And so I always am always kind of reminding, you know, it's like, this is good. This is good. This is, and like, as you know, it's like difficult, but like you have to do it. It's like there's no exception to the rule in nature, is there? And we can look at all of nature and how it's evolved to the next version of itself to become something better. And we can kind of like join voices and take comfort in that. I think like that's that whole like cognitive shift, if you will, like to look at problems in that way, I feel, which I feel like all of us kind of like are united in that now. Sometimes it just takes something to like throw your life totally out of whack to be able to see things like that, which just brings me to my first question. Like what propelled you on this? You said it's been like a year now that you've been like really diving into it. Was there some sort of catalyst that propelled you to start like doing this work?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. It's interesting. Yeah. Thinking back to why I even started embarking on this, because I think everyone has their own impetus and sort of like ignition, you know, or igniting force that kind of pushes them into something like this. But for me, it's interesting. It actually was just giving myself space mentally and, you know, time to relax and not be so preoccupied with work, where I finally had this mental headspace to be like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a part of me that I really want to explore. So Eric and I were in Mexico. This was, yeah, November of last year. It was sort of our first like long vacation since we started this business, because we've done like little weekend trips here and there. But I think we were there for like 10 days or maybe even 2 weeks. And so finally, and you know, everyone knows it takes like at least a few days to get into like vacation mode where you can actually start to relax. So it was like a few days in, you know, of not like being on email, not being connected. I was just off the grid. And I just had this, yeah, almost this like download or just this calling, you know, not to sound like woo-woo, but just like this urge to really explore spirituality and go inward. And I just think that, you know, I didn't grow up religious. And so that part of me was just very dormant. Like I never was interested in it. You know, I always meditated, but it was like for the wellness aspect. It wasn't, there was no spirituality kind of in my life. And then when I was in Mexico, it really was just this deep urge to explore that, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how to begin. So I texted the only person in my life, one of my girlfriends, who I was one of my college roommates, who suddenly kind of had this spiritual awakening and was like this little Buddha. And I was like, she'll know, you know, she'll know the answer. And so I texted her and I'm like, hey, if I were to, you know, start exploring this, like what books would you recommend? Just give me a starter pack. And so she sent me like a whole list of stuff. And so when I got home, I like Amazoned everything to my house. I got home and I just started reading. And so that was probably, you know, where you saw like a lot of the books on my stories and everything. And from there, she connected me to this woman who does human design. So I did like a human design reading, you know, which was really eye-opening for me. And then that same woman actually is also a therapist. So I started working with her every other week. You know, we were doing talk therapy, but we were also doing really cool stuff, you know, past life stuff. And just like, she was kind of opening the doors of like woo-woo-ness to me, where I was just like, I was just down for it all. I'm like, just teach me, like, I don't know anything. And then on top of that, I also started working with a somatic therapist on the weeks that I wasn't working with the talk therapist. So I was really incorporating a lot of just like different modalities into my life. I was doing some breath work on the side here and there with one of my girlfriends who leads breath work. And at this point, I wasn't even thinking about psychedelics. I was just, again, sort of like dabbling in all these things and seeing what resonated. I also was moving my body, and not in a way of like exercise or, you know, burning calories, but I would just like at the end of the day, I would put on my headphones And I would just like let my body lead the way. And that was really healing for me because I felt like my whole life I've been so rigid and just so structured. And so it was like almost getting back to that, like, you know, you see a little kid dancing and it's just like so uninhibited and so just like wholesome. And that was really healing for me too. And so, yeah, it was just like all these different things. And it wasn't, you know, there wasn't any intention behind it. It was just exploration. And it was like being a sponge and soaking up everything and seeing what resonated and kind of like moving on from stuff that didn't, you know, I didn't enjoy or it didn't work for me. And I loved that part of it. And so that was sort of, from November until about March. And obviously through therapy, stuff's going to come up, but I had this really crazy dream, dream/nightmare one night in March. And it like woke me up and it was, basically I was kind of reliving this sexual assault that had happened to me like 10 years ago. And it was wild because I hadn't thought about it in so long. And I had always just sort of like suppressed it, like tossed it to the side. And it was just, again, like this calling of like, you need to address this, like now is the time. And it was wild because when I actually look back on the date that my assault happened, the day that I had the dream or the night that I had the dream, I guess, was literally 10 years to the day that it happened, like 10 years
wow.
later.
Wow. Yeah.
So like, again, you know, I'm like, all right, it's all this like woo-woo-ness. I'm like, this is so interesting. So, so then that was a whole nother sort of, you know, unfolding and exploration of just this whole side of me where I've been so focused on the eating disorder piece and all of that with recovery. And I think, you know, although that was really important and obviously traumatic, but there was this whole other layer that I just hadn't uncovered and I had suppressed for so long. So then the healing journey of that was like this second phase of all of this. And then lastly, yeah, the psychedelics, that was over 4th of July weekend. And it really was just so meant to be because, you know, I'd been kind of thinking about it here and there for a while and finally just had the opportunity, you know, to, do it in a therapeutic setting. It was guided. I felt really safe. You know, there was an ER doctor there and it was just like, I don't know, the whole setting just felt right for me. And I was like, this is it. And so I had the most profound experience of my whole life while doing that. And that really helped heal my sexual assaults, you know, experience. And it was just something that I really felt like I couldn't get close to when I was talking about it, you know, in therapy. It just felt so raw, even though it happened 10 years ago. And so it really gave me just the space. And yeah, I was able to kind of let that guard down and that wall down that I had been building for so many years. So yeah, that was like a little bit how I got into all this. And then, you know, now I feel like I'm at a place where I'm definitely still, you know, doing quote unquote the work. But it's not, I'm sort of like taking a step back because it's just been such an intense year of self-growth and like exploration. And, you know, as you know, it's healing is so fucking exhausting where you're just like, sometimes you got to just like live for a little bit too. So yeah, that was a little bit about the past year.
Wow. You dipped your feet in so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, props to you though. That's awesome. I mean, I feel like if you're going to do it, you might as well just go all in. Cause like there's no right or wrong way to get to there. And then it's not even really a destination cause we're always evolving anyways, but I feel like there's no right or wrong way. So it's so interesting to hear like all the different things like people are trying and perhaps like someone else hasn't thought of that. Certainly there's things I haven't done, that I'd love to do, but I was going to ask you, okay, well, first of all, you're the one who recommended the book, Many Lives, Many Masters. I have so many questions, but obviously I've like then purchased more of his books and I like now I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to work with someone who does like past life regression. Did you, just as like a total side note, but still completely relevant, did you get any like feedback on past lives with this individual?
Yeah. So that's something. So she doesn't do like the hypnotic, you know, that whole thing, like I guess the regression part. She has a bunch of resources. And so that's something like you, I've been so interested in. No, when I worked with her, she just started, it was before I read the book and before I had my psychedelic experience. And so I was like very, you know, like past lives was not even a phrase in my vocabulary. So she started like scratching the surface, you know, talking about stuff. And I was just like, what is she talking about? You know, I'm like, well, I don't understand this. And she was recommending this book. And so I read the book right after my psychedelic journey. And it was just like it blew the top off of everything. And I had always had this really low grade fear of dying, like my whole life. You know, it wasn't enough that I was like agoraphobic or like I wouldn't leave my house, but it was just something that I always like, even when if I was driving or flying, or it was just always there. And I just felt always on edge. And when I was, you know, doing my journey, like I just lost all fear of dying because I had this, you know, deep feeling that I've just lived so many lives before this. I'm going to live so many lives after this. And I really saw my spirit and my soul as who I am. Like my body is my body. It's just like my vessel holding me. And so just, I don't know, that for some reason really helped with my fear of dying because it wasn't like, you know, it's like when my body dies, like it's not the end of me. It's just like the end of this lifetime, or it's the end of like what's holding me. But it's like, I am this, I don't know, bigger thing. And I hope that doesn't sound too wacky, but,
No. I'm loving it.
Yeah. So then I read this book and I was like, oh my God. And I loved how it came from the perspective of like, you know, this guy's like a psychiatrist. He's not trying to like sell you on anything. Like you can tell he's trying to make sense of it throughout the whole book of like, how the fuck is this happening scientifically? And then he's like, there's just no explanation. So yeah, but I would love to do like an actual regression. I think that would be epic. And just, you know, it might explain a lot of things too. And just unexplainable stuff. Like for me, I always have felt this like really, really almost like visceral calling to be in Europe in the summer. And it's, I always like, I've never talked about this because it sounds so like first world problems. Like, oh, I want to go to Europe and like vacation in the summer. But it's like not about, you know, it's not about that. It's just like, I have this calling, like somewhere in the Mediterranean. Like I've just, oh, every summer it's like without fail, it just feels like against every grain of my being to be away from Europe in the summer. And so I was like talking to my therapist about it. She was like, you never know, like maybe, you know, in a past life, like you were, I don't know, like Mediterranean, living in the Mediterranean or something. So it's like stuff like that, that's sort of unexplainable. And even before I'd ever gone to Europe, I just always had this calling, you know, Italy around that area. And so yeah, just stuff like that is really interesting, or why I've always been drawn to the water and the ocean. And that just feels like so cleansing for me. So yeah, that's something I've really wanted to explore, but haven't had the chance to do that yet.
I would love to do it as well, but I'm always kind of like, how do I know if this person's legit as well? Because there are like so many people who have you, I was going to ask, have you listened to the Near Death Experience podcast?
No, I need to do that.
So I found a girl on TikTok, like this introduced me to this world who died and then came back to life. She died in the dentist chair and she had this whole story of like her soul leaving her body and all this stuff. And so I interviewed her on the podcast, but I was like, I'm so interested in you. And then she was like, oh, you know, like the Near Death Experience podcast. And I was like, no, I don't know, but I feel like I should. And I've listened to like every podcast and it's so funny because it's like a monotone guy just like reading a script of someone's near death. I think he's like Amish or something. And he's like, so today we're going to read the near-death experience of Joan, 1963. And I'm like, this is so interesting.
No way.
And so he reads all these experiences and there's this common thread, right, that runs through every single one. But I'm fascinated by it. And then when you mentioned that book, I read the whole book in one day. It happened to be like a Sunday where my in-laws had the baby and I was like, this is how I'm spending my time today. And it just like blew my mind. So I'm really glad that you recommended it. And now I'm like reading his other books, but I think I'll link it in the show notes. I think that one is his best for sure. Like the other ones are good, but perhaps just because it was like the introduction to it, to me, that just blew my mind. I don't know, but
yeah,
I loved it.
That's wild. Yeah, no. And I think that was the thing talking to my therapist. She was like, there's so many, you know, unfortunately it's like, there's so many people out there that are kind of like trying to capitalize on this. Yeah. And so it's like, you kind of have to ask around and word of mouth and just finding people who are legit and who are really good. But yeah, it was wild. Like, and oh, one of the women who was the facilitator at my psychedelic retreat, she actually studied under the author, I forget his name, when she was in grad school for, you know, becoming a therapist. And she said that he did a regression on her and she was like, it was crazy. Like she was like, she was listing all these different things. She was like, I was, you know, a slave in Egypt. And like, I would look down and I would just see like my feet were all dirty. Like she was just depicting all these really, detailed scenarios. And like, she was like, then flash forward, I was here and I was here. And I was like, that's so crazy. Like just, I don't know, even hearing those things is probably so wild. So I would love to do something like that, but I don't know someone who's like actually legit.
Yeah. And my last point on that, because I think it's really interesting, is like that souls travel together. And like, I've had a few friends recently go through some miscarriages or lose people that they love. And I thought it was so beautiful the way it was like, oh, in this life, you know, my son was my dad, or like my teacher was you. And it's like, we've all been like reincarnating together. And right. I just thought that that was so interesting. It's like, so like you can, and then I was listening to some episode, I think it was Catherine Zinkina interviewing this shaman that I would love to work with at some point. And she's like, yeah, you could literally, like, let's say your grandpa died, your baby could be your grandpa. Like right. It would be his soul. It could be that close together. And like, that's why you would be like, oh, it's an old soul. And so like, they're never really leaving you, even sometimes in this lifetime. And it's like, what?
Totally. I know. No, and all that, like, you know, whether or not, like, because people are like, I don't know. I was talking to Eric about this, my partner, and he's so logical. He's like an engineer, just very, you know, he's like not woo-woo at all. And, you know, even he was like, even if you don't believe it, it's just nice. Like, it's a nice idea. And it's like, why, you know, it's not hurting anyone. Like, and if it helps you deal with like grief or loss or anything like that. And I think that's what's so cool about diving into this kind of world of spirituality. And, you know, as long as you're not like weaponizing it or, I don't know, like spiritual bypassing, like, I just think it's such a nice, it's just been such a nice place to delve into, because you're learning more about yourself. You're learning more about, like, I don't know, how to operate and how to treat other people. And, it's just been like a nice atmosphere. And it's not like I'm delving into, you know, like a true crime thing where it's like stresses me out and keeps me up at night. It's like, it's kind of like soft and, you know what I mean? Nice. And, so it's been cool. But I would love to find someone. I feel like there's probably someone in like Sedona, you know what I mean? Like one of those like spiritual places.
I know.
But yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's on my list. And so is the shaman, or like a shaman, but I have one in mind that I really want to work with, but she's like very elite. And it's like this whole thing to get to work with her. So I'm like, I don't know, but it's like on my list. Okay. So I'd love to ask you about your, what did you do? Mind sharing what you took in your ceremony?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I took, psilocybin, so magic mushrooms. And I took a pretty high dose, and I had never really, like, I had microdosed here and there just for like creativity, but I had never taken a macro dose, and never done acid, LSD, never done ayahuasca, like anything. The only psychedelic, which I guess they consider a psychedelic, I had done was like a part, like ecstasy and like party drugs, which again, like not in a therapeutic setting, like at a club. In Europe. I was really, really nervous going into it, but I just, you know, when you're scared to do something, but I had this deep gut feeling of like, but this is the right thing. Like, this is what you need. And so it wasn't like, oh, I'm terrified and it was a bad feeling. It was like, yes. So I went into it, and the first night we did like a low dose ketamine journey, which I had also never done ketamine before. And that was really nice and a very somatic experience. And I actually had some pretty deep realizations in that journey as well, just with, you know, my grandma and like people in my life who had passed away. So that was really interesting. But then the mushroom journey was obviously a lot, like a lot to take in. And so then we had 2 days of integration after that, which was so helpful, because you see all this shit and you have all these downloads and realizations, and you're just like, I felt almost overwhelmed at the end of it, of like, how am I going to remember all this? Like, how am I possibly going to, you know, retain all this information? And they just kept telling us like, you don't have to, first of all, also like what is important and what's supposed to stand out, you'll remember and will stand out. And so that was really, again, like this practice of surrendering control and not trying to like grasp so tightly and have this tight grip on life. That was like a lesson within itself during this whole thing. But the biggest takeaway, and again, like for anyone who's gone through this and kind of, you probably also feel this way, like it's hard to share about your journey without cheapening it. But now I've had like some time, you know, some distance and space away from it. I feel like I have some big sort of takeaways from it that I would love to share. But I remember right after, I actually flew to my parents' house in San Diego, and which was a mistake just because I love my parents, but it's just, I should have given myself like more buffer and more space after doing it because, you know, of course they're like, how was it? Tell us everything. And I was just like word vomiting every little detail about my journey. And it's like, I don't know, sometimes when you share to appease other people, it just doesn't feel good to yourself because you're like, I didn't need to share that. That doesn't serve me. So that was something I kept in mind, and maybe some advice for someone else who wants to do something like this. Like, you don't have to share everything. But one thing I do think is worth sharing is, yeah, just healing from the sexual assault. So I saw, you know, the person who did this to me. I walked towards him with like full just love and forgiveness. It wasn't like fake forgiveness, like forgive and forget, XOXO. It was like this deep, full body, just love. And then I hugged him, and I just, in that moment, just completely forgave him and then sort of like sent him off with love, like into the distance. And again, that was just so impactful for me because I hadn't even been able to like think about what happened or him or like anything. So that was really powerful. That was like a huge one. Second thing was around my relationship with motherhood. So, you know, I'm starting the process of freezing my eggs, and I just felt this like really, really deep resistance to being a mom. And I just felt like it wasn't for me, or, you know, I wasn't really sure. I was very wishy-washy on it just because I have sort of a complicated relationship with my mom. And so, And so I just had this deep, like, gut feeling of just like, you're going to be a great mom. And it was like this inner knowing that sometimes I think all of us have, but it was just so loud and so clear. And so I think that's what, you know, this medicine or other psychedelics do is like, nothing is external. It's not like you're learning things that don't exist in you already. It's just like clearing the channel and, you know, bringing things up that are already inside you and have always been inside you. And it's sort of like finding that truest, purest, inner wisdom. And so that was really helpful for me. And then last thing was, I relived my birth and I relived my entire life up to this point, like in like fast forward little snippets. Like I was watching a TV show on my life, very casual. And, I watched myself when I was little, and my first word was wow. But it was like, it just brought things full circle for me because now I'm trying to create this like childlike wonder and this play for other people with our business. And I just had this realization and like almost this grieving process of like, I'm not doing that for myself. Like I'm creating this for other people, but here I am working my ass off, like never having fun, never being in like my childlike play. And so I've really sort of had this since then. I really embarked on this like fun renaissance, and I've been trying to really infuse little moments of joy and fun into my life and get back to that. Because I think, you know, everyone always says like work-life balance, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's like when you start a business, especially in the beginning, it's like all hands on deck and you kind of just dive full in, especially if you're really passionate about it. So that was like a huge other realization that I had. And I think it just connects the dots of your life in ways that you haven't been able to do in the past. And actually on a physiological level, they do say that it fires, you know, neurons together that don't normally fire together. And there's like different synapses of your brain that are connecting that don't normally talk to each other. So that was really cool. And I noticed this like afterglow effect for about 2 weeks after I had my journey, where with past, you know, drug experiences, I've had like really bad come downs, or I've been super depressed after, you know, taking Molly or taking ecstasy. And there was none of that. It was very much like, you know, I was smiling at strangers as I was walking down the street, and everything was just like a little brighter and a little more colorful. And yeah, I just felt like my heart was like cracked wide open for a few weeks after that. So it was a really, you know, profound experience. I wouldn't say it was fun. Like, it was really challenging at times. And so I don't want to paint the picture that it was like this rosy, like pleasant experience, because there was lots of challenging moments, and I'm probably good for like at least a year. I would not want to do it again. Because it was just so exhausting, and it's like, you're working through so much shit. But for someone listening that, you know, maybe wants to explore things at a deeper level, you just, you know, when you're ready, and it's not something that anyone can force on you. And I feel like that when the time is right for you, like the opportunity will present itself. But, yeah, it was a very amazing experience overall.
That is just so profound. And like, so many thoughts were like going through my head of things to ask you. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose the thought.
Yeah.
No, it's just so interesting. Like you said, like, it just really is a testament to like that inner wisdom, and also how our subconscious never forgets. And I'm really interested in the subconscious mind. Like you said, I like replayed my whole life, like from birth. And it's not uncommon to hear that people will have like a flashback to their birth, and they're like, it was so warm and cozy. And then all of a sudden, and it's like, they remember the feeling of the hospital gown or whatever, you know? And I think it's fascinating, because it's like our conscious mind or our ego, whatever like people want to call it, is just like prohibiting us like all the time, every day, all day, from like being able to access like all of these experiences. Like, sometimes a good thing, like in a sense, like when it comes to trauma, just kind of like keeping it down for like a survival standpoint. But then also it's like, there's so much there. And then from like a soul standpoint, there's like all this wisdom just like waiting to come out. But because it doesn't like make sense in our conscious mind, we just like can't fathom it. We just can't think it, because it doesn't align with our internal map of the world. So it's like, I don't know. I just, that's like what's going through my head whenever I hear these stories. I'm just like, it's like, it sets you free for a moment in time. It like sets you free from your ego, so you can like access like who you are.
Yes. Oh, that's exactly what it felt. And I didn't have that language, you know, even a month or two ago when I did it, like to even feel that. But yeah, it was almost just like, I couldn't believe the amount of my brain I was using. And I remember as I started kind of coming back to planet Earth and I felt myself like sobering up, I just was feeling so pissed. I was like, because I was like, I only use like 10% or less of my brain, you know? And it just felt like all systems were firing and my brain was working so fast. And I was just, it was even like little things, like, you know, normally when you think thoughts, at least I think in the term of, you know, I, or I'm like, I'm going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like this inner monologue. And I was thinking like this collective we, like it was just wild. It was like, oh, we do this. And I had never even like, where did that come from? You know, and it just, this connectedness to every living thing, you know, I was used to be the girl that would, if I saw a spider in my house, I would fucking smash the shit out of that spider. And I can't kill bugs anymore. Like, I swear it's the wildest thing, because I'm like, we're all connected. Like, I'm like, I can't kill that spider. Like, that could be, yeah, like speaking of past lives, I'm like, that could be my grandpa. Like, you know what I mean? I physically can't kill bugs anymore. And so I just feel like it's just this profound experience that, you know, and it's hard not to feel almost like preachy, because when something changes your life in such a significant way, everyone's different, obviously. And like, I know it doesn't work for everyone, but yeah, I just think of like how beneficial it could be. And it's just wild to me that it's not legal. I mean, it's legal in some places, but it's like still like a Schedule I drug or something. And I'm like, are you kidding? It's just so healing and it's not addictive at all. Like, there's no part of me that wants to even do it, you know, in a few months. It's like, I did it once. I'm like, I'm good for a while, you know, and maybe in a few years or something, I'll feel ready again. But yeah, the subconscious is super interesting, because, you know, even with the sexual assault piece, right, it was 10 years ago, like I should have been able to remember everything. And there's still like, you know, or before I did the journey, I had a hard time even remembering what happened. Like you said, with trauma, like your brain just shuts it off. And then when I was in my journey, it was like I relived the entire experience in such detail, which to someone who's been through something traumatic sounds terrible. But I was in this place of like love and forgiveness, and there was no fear, there was no shame, there was no guilt or embarrassment, which are all feelings that I would, that would come up when I thought about it. And so it was just like able to almost watch this experience happening. And yeah, and it's hard to almost explain if like, cause it sounds kind of crazy, but yeah, it was just so healing to be like, okay, this happened, you know, very objectively, no kind of emotions attached to it, and just feeling these like deep feelings of forgiveness and healing. And it, yeah, it's just something that my ego and my like conscious brain can't even comprehend. Even telling you now, I'm like, that sounds crazy. But like when you're going through it and experiencing it, it's just the most healing thing, because otherwise you're just never going to address it, and you're going to push it out from your mind. And it's always going to be there.
It's always going to be there, and it's always going to manifest like in something. And we talk about this in the chronic illness space. Like, I'm a huge believer that, you know, when we release the emotions that are attached to the symptom, we often release the symptom, because emotions are energy in motion. And since energy can't be created or destroyed, if we're not releasing it, it's sitting and then it's manifesting. And it's kind of like a roller coaster. It's like trying to release. And then when we can't recognize that it's an emotion, it comes out in a symptom.
Yeah.
It also comes out in a trauma response, like perfectionism. You know, all of us type A's, like literally is like the only person I ever work with is type A, because no one else is like channeling their trauma to such a degree in my business. It's everyone. It's, and it's like, oh, that's so funny. How did you know that about me? I'm like, it's a trauma response. It's like, doesn't surprise me at all that you're extremely successful and you do like 1,000 things and whatever, and you've managed to run yourself into the ground. Welcome. You're in a good space. But yeah, it manifests over and over. And that's like what the subconscious does. Like, it'll continue to try to bring it to the surface when it thinks like it's a relevant time. So if something triggers that, like if something just is a flashback, or even if we're not like aware that it's associated, it'll be like, oh, this is a good moment to bring it up. And it'll bring it up. And oftentimes it's like so suppressed, we don't even realize what's happening. So it comes out in a symptom or a trauma response. And then it's like, that's weird. Like, I keep having these migraines, or like I keep doing this really unhealthy habit, and I don't know why I'm like being triggered into this. And I'm a huge believer. Of course, there's a million theories of, you know, all of these things, but I'm a huge believer that it's all connected, having studied the mind. And like, then of course, like listening to your experience and so many different people's experiences, and then doing a lot of the emotional freedom work. And so it's really interesting. But what was I going to say? There was something I was going to say. This is why. And this is also part of the third trimester, because my brain is like,
yeah,
pregnancy brain is a thing. And I was like on a call with my team, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like saying the wrong words. I just can't even talk today. But yeah. You always hear that, like, you know, we are all one. This is like the narrative we all hear from anyone who's like either had like a profound experience or like studies some sort of like religion, spirituality, whatever, and that everything is love. There is nothing else but love. Everything else is an illusion. And I think because we exist in like this dimension and there's so much separation, we can't comprehend that. Like, we can only comprehend one in terms of another, like love in terms of hate, I feel, or like anger in terms of happiness, whatever the opposite is. You know, I think we have to have this like duality. And so it's almost like you need something like that to like be like, no, like, you're escaping this dimension, and now you can tap into what's real, not what's an illusion. Because we know like this dimension is an illusion, or I feel that this dimension, I'm saying blanket statements, but this is how I see it. And I think that's really interesting, because it's like, there's so much freedom in that. There's so much freedom in seeing it from the perspective of what's true. And you're like, it sounds impossible to say this, or it sounds weird to say this, but this is how I was able to approach this. And it's just always like, for me, like trying to find ways, like you said, in the journey of spirituality, who cares if you're right or wrong? If it's getting you more connected to the truth of what is love, or the truth is that everyone's connected, then it's healing, which like is the point. Like, everything is kind of infinite. So why does it matter what path you choose? It's probably all right. You know, when we get to the other side, it'll be like, everything exists. I don't know. But I think like the whole point of it is like connecting to that experience you had. And I'm fascinated with like, how can we make those synaptic connections? How can we train the brain? Obviously, this is what I do, to like push past that and evolve and like make connections that we haven't had. Because to me, I see like the next evolution of like human beings being these people who are using more of their brain or having these new synaptic connections where they're able to kind of like outsmart the neocortex, the part that we is our claim to fame. Like, oh, we're so smart now. We have this part of our brain where we can like perceive the future. It's like the part that's like causing us to fear and hate and separate and analyze and like move away from like our innate wisdom. And so your, you know, your testimony just really plays into what I think about all the time. And I think, I wonder if we'll ever be able to kind of evolve to that and have these experiences, you know, just like as a new kind of species of human beings, or if that's what people are kind of doing on this journey in this awakening.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's sort of the next phase. And it's just, I mean, again, it was like when I was coming back down to reality, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was almost just like, see, you can't unsee something, right? You can't like unlearn that there's all this, you know, way of thinking that you're not doing. And that was frustrating to me. And I was like, ah. But what was also interesting talking about, you know, emotions getting stored in the body was, and you'll appreciate this with thyroid stuff, like my antibodies were just for the past few years, just always ticking up, up, up. My doctor, I tried, I mean, all the elimination diets. I have like a sauna, a red light, like all the wellnessy tools. And after my experience, it was the first time that my doctor was like, holy shit, like your antibodies are trending downward for the first time ever. And, you know, I've been eating gluten, I've been eating dairy, like, because I just had this moment where I'm like, let me just do the opposite. Like, I've just been so rigid and so structured. And I'm like, you know, through this spirit of surrender, like, I'm just going to do what brings me joy. I'm going to, you know, have a croissant with my espresso every morning and see what happens. And like, I just think it is so powerful to think about that. And I'm not saying, you know, if you're celiac, like go eat gluten, but I just think you're right. Like, processing and moving through shit that has been stored and so stagnant for so long is healing on ways that we don't even realize yet. And, you know, it's evident with like my antibodies going down when I had tried everything. So yeah, it was just really powerful to see sort of that physical relation too. Cause I think sometimes people are like, oh, well, you know, my mental health is fine. I don't need to do, you know, therapy, or I don't need to work through my emotions, but they're dealing with all this physical stuff, like you said. And it's like, well, it's all connected. And in fact, like, I've seen the deepest physical healing when I do address the emotional and the mental side.
There's no separation. And I think, unfortunately, like in Western society, while there are loads of benefits, one of the downfalls is that separation of the mind and the body. And sometimes you'll get the, you know, it's anxiety. So there's, I guess, to some degree, recognition that someone's like saying, okay, anxiety, we know, can cause X, Y, and Z. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than like you're anxious, so you have a headache or a stomach ache. It's like, you know, our thoughts manifest in our nervous system. When we have a thought, it releases a neurotransmitter. Every cell in the body is bathed in neurotransmitters. So it's listening and it's waiting and it's behaving based on how we feel on something, which is why when people go on vacation, they're like, my God, you wouldn't believe it. I could eat all the bread and dairy. And like, yes, it's less processed. And yes, the cows are probably healthier. I'll give you that. But at the same time, like, you are like in parasympathetic, like you are chilling, you are having a great time. And all of a sudden you're eating like all the baguettes and croissants and pasta. And you're like, how is this possible? You know, and it's the same story every time. And it's like, there's of course a part, like the quality of what you eat. Of course, we all know, like, on a consistent basis, yeah, that matters, of course. But also, like, most importantly, is the message you send to your body. Am I safe or am I in survival? Well, all food is going to fall flat when you're in survival. And so it's just really interesting. Like, people will experience this or start to believe it and be like, oh my God, like, what else is this going to affect? And it's like, it affects everything. What you believe affects everything. And I'm not saying, like, because you believe it, it's your fault and that's why you're sick. But they operate in alignment, the mind and the body. So it's, you know, any statement that a doctor says or a person says, if you integrate that into the way you see your body, it's going to affect how it physically manifests. And I think that's really interesting about like incorporating the gluten. I've done the same thing. I eat gluten now all the time and it used to make me so sick. Same with dairy. But after doing the work, I was like, there's so much freedom, and like realizing that when you feel safe, everything in the body just like comes back into homeostasis.
Totally. I'm so fascinated by this idea of, yeah, parasympathetic versus sympathetic, like living in fight or flight. Cause I think that's that subtle shift. I just started reading the book called Breath by, have you read that one?
No.
James
Nestor. To add it to my list of 800 books.
Yeah. Something Nestor is his name. But anyways, but like he talks about, you know, how most of us are holding our breath. Like think about anytime you look at your phone or you're working on your computer, it's like you're doing these tiny shallow breaths and, you know, your body thinks it's like stressed out. It thinks it's in fight or flight. And I've been thinking about that so much because yeah, like the vacation thing, it's the first time in so long that you're just like breathing deeply and you're, you know, relaxed and you don't think that, I mean, even living in the city, like I live in Philly, as you know, and it's like, I live right on this main street and, you know, my home is my little oasis. But if I run out to go for a walk or something, I just find myself like, even if I put on my noise canceling headphones and put some like relaxing music on, you're always like, okay, I can't get hit by a car or like, is this person going to mug me? Like you're just sort of on edge. And I notice like whenever I travel somewhere that's a little more, you know, chill or low key or kind of less populated, like my nervous system just down regulates and it just like comes back to baseline. And I just think about ways I can do that in my day to day. So I've, you know, speaking of another healing modality, I've really been wanting to incorporate more breath work into my daily routine. And nothing crazy. Like I know breath work you can do for like an hour or something, but just like little bits in the morning where it's like I'm just setting the tone and kind of like, yeah, being more conscious about it. But then another thought that I have is adding so much into your daily routine, you know, in this pursuit of wellness or this pursuit of healing, and you're actually just stressing yourself out more. You know, you're just like putting yourself more into fight or flight. So it really is that balancing act, like you said. And like, you know, maybe for you, that's just loosening the reins on your diet. Maybe that is eating gluten, or for someone else, that means, you know, avoiding gluten. I don't know. So it's like, it's so personalized to everyone, but, yeah, it's just like, you kind of have to find what works for you.
And it's almost like, it's not about what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. And that really confuses people. Cause like I just had a student today in my program, like submit this beautiful, 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 like week of like how I'm gonna, or how she's gonna do all her, I don't know, like parasympathetic work. And I said exactly what you said, like, be careful.
Yeah.
Because you can overdo it. And then it's really confusing. Cause I was like, punctuate your day with moments of mindfulness and meditate, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, but don't do too much. And I think it's like, the skill is like just being in the present and regulating no matter what you're doing versus what you're doing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's why I felt so drawn to Europe for so long too, is like people over there just, I don't know, they, and I'm generalizing a whole like multiple countries, but you know what I mean? I don't know. It's like, I just think Europeans in general, just, they just have it figured out. And again, that's like my American perspective. But like every time I go over there, it's like, you know, work is not the like main priority of life. It's like, you know, connecting with friends, community, self-care, like relaxing. And I just think that I find that so attractive and alluring to myself, because probably on some subconscious level, my body is like, yeah, you need more of that. Like, girl, you're in fight or flight. So yeah, it's like, how can I bring that energy to myself, to my own life? Like, it's possible. You don't have to fly to Italy every, you know, every week. But for some reason, just, it feels harder sort of in our society, but it is totally doable. And I like that you said it's how you do something, because, you know, you can add all these like wellness morning routine things, but if you're stressed out doing it, then it's not super healthy.
Well, that's like the same concept of trauma. Like people think trauma is an event, but it's your capacity to deal with an event.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And so it's like, oh, well, what if this happens? Or I get a lot of this like in my programs. It's like, yeah, but you don't get it. I have this trauma. And not to be insensitive, because certain circumstances are not the best deck of cards. And we have to acknowledge that and like hold space for that. But at the same time, it is about, your capacity to deal with these events. Ultimately, that's going to affect the nervous system, not the events themselves. And it's like you said, like the relinquishing of control and like learning that in any given moment, you can have that routine, you can have that breath. But I still think all the practices are important. And like, I do them myself as well. But then of course, you become a mom. And then you're like, oh, all these things I got to do, I still make time for it. But you know, it's different. I'll say that, you know, so, but never a more important time. And it's really cool that like, if you do decide to have kids, that you've done all this beforehand. I kind of got onto this journey, like when I got pregnant with my first baby. And there's so much I've wanted to do that like I haven't done, so much I have done, so much I wonder when will I get to do having young children? Like, when can I go and do ayahuasca? Like, I want to do it so badly. And then I'm like, when is that like okay when you have small children? Like, when can you escape to that before it's like irresponsible parenting? Like, do they have to be like 10 or like maybe 5? Or like, what's the deal with?
Right.
But yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's like, I mean, again, I'm not a parent, so I can't tell you like what's right or wrong. But I think also it's, you know, with anything in life, like the more you take care of yourself, the more you find you're in a good place with yourself, you show up so much better for everyone else. Like, I think back on all of the, you know, Eric and I have been together for like almost 10 years now. I think back to all of the big fights that we've gotten into, and I was like, I was either hungry, I was tired, I was about to, like, it was always like something going on with me. It was like nothing to do with him. And it's just, it's so the case. And, you know, through this healing journey, he has like really supported me, but not in a way, like he just like held space for me and was like, you're like, keep doing your thing. This is amazing. And our relationship has gotten so infinitely better through me learning about myself. And he hasn't changed a damn thing. Like, he's exactly the same person. He hasn't, you know, gone through any sort of transformation himself. Like, he hasn't evolved in that way at all, which is fine. But for some reason now I'm like, I just feel like our relationship's so much better. And it's all because I've been spending time on me. So like, you know, to your question, it's like, well, I don't think there has to be this right time. I don't think there has to be a certain age. Like, you know, your husband can watch them, their parents, you know, his parents, like whatever. It's like, if you take that time for yourself, I feel like you're going to show up so much better. Because yeah, you know, it's like, and that's another thing is with running a business, you know, too, it's like, I felt like I was just pushing my life off, you know, until the day that like we sold the business, or, you know, it's like someday in the future, I'll have more time to focus on me. And I feel like it's probably a similar thing with kids where you're like, okay, when they're 10, when they're, you know, self-sufficient, then I can focus on myself. And it's like, well, why not just try to do little things now? You know, I know having like young kids is super time consuming, but like, doesn't have to be this huge thing. And same thing with running a business. I was like, we went to this music festival in Belgium last month and, you know, had the best time. And literally never in my life would I think I'd be able to do that, because I was like, that's not something I can do while running a business. And then I did it and I was like, why not? Like, this is awesome. And now I feel like so recharged and excited to show up. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I think only you know, like, when, if it's like a good or a bad thing, you know?
I agree. And I also agree with that statement so much. And I kind of, you know, businesses are like babies in a sense. Like, they also could keep you up at night. They also demand a lot of you, you know? And I think, I feel the same, and it's always like my advice. Like, I'm lucky in the sense, because I've had a lot of life lessons to teach me that self-care is important, not like self-care, but like genuinely self-care is important. And, I've always invested in that as a mother. I waited into a point in my life where I knew that like I'd be able to balance that as a mother. Now I'm 31, I'm on, you know, and I wanted to be in a certain place with my husband and financially and everything like that, where it's like, I have this time so I can be the best version of myself. And oh my God, like, what an impact it makes. And I have to do that. I mean, having had like a Graves' disease diagnosis and then so many other things that seem to just like go wrong, like one after the other, it was like apparent to me that my lack of investment in myself, from that perspective, was not working. And obviously, since I've been, you know, implementing these practices, I haven't had any antibodies, I haven't had any flares through two pregnancies and all of that good stuff. And I fully intend to like show up as the best version of myself. And that's like so my like advice to anyone who wants or who has a business, or it's so easy to get lost in it. It's so easy to be like, yeah, I know, like, no screen time first thing, but like my team needs me to check my emails, or like I'm up in the night, so I might as well just like see what's going on. Like, what are sales like after I went to bed, or, you know? And it's like, it's just really almost never worth it. Like maybe once a year and like your biggest launch, but other than that, do you know what I mean? It's never worth it. And I agree. Like I agree with what you said about Europe. So people here definitely like, they're not like Americans when it comes to work, pretty much. And one of the things they do is they take a lot of time off work. And so one of the decisions I made was, I am like you, I'm really called to the beach, but obviously it wasn't working for us to live at the beach. We don't have any family living at the beach. And so one of my goals for early 2024 is to buy a house in Spain and spend the summers at the beach. I'm Spanish, South American, but you know, like Spanish nonetheless. I think Spain has it right. They just chill, you know, like everything is like slow speed. And it used to really annoy me when I would go there and I'd be like, oh my God, it's taking an hour. Like, we've got, you know, places to be. And then I'm like, no, I like want that to be my life. Like, I want it to be that in the evenings, I don't care that it took an hour, even though my kids have a bedtime and like I have a schedule like that I live and die by. I want to like be that person so badly. And so like my goal is to like take a full 6 weeks off and just go there, you know, in the summers. And I like, I'm manifesting that for 2024. And like before, I would say I could never take 6 weeks. I'm like, why not? Like, yeah. I own the business. Like, I can take 6 weeks, you know, like, and so like, we're, you know, starting that project, and it's just, I just completely agree. I think like we set all these limitations on ourselves, especially when you're like type A of like, well, I just can't do that. I just can't do that. And it's like, when you realize you're the only one holding yourself back from having these things that you want in your life, you get so much freedom.
Oh, that's amazing. Like, I love that, because if you're European, taking 6 weeks off is 100% normal and like everyone does it, you know? And, you know, hearing that as an American, you're like, what the hell? Like, what are you smoking? And it's just, I think that's like the big cultural difference that I was referring to, where I'm just like, yes, like life is meant to be lived, you know? And it's not supposed, you're not going to look back. Like, you know what I realize is when you see a friend you haven't seen in a while and they're like, oh, like, catch me up. Like, how are things, you know? And then all of a sudden I have that moment where it's like, what have you been up to? And in my mind, I'm like, I've just been working. And like, that just, I have that moment where I'm like, ew, like that gives me the ick. Like, I sound so lame being like, oh, I'm just busy working, you know? Like, and so sometimes that puts it in perspective where I'm like, hey, I just went to this music festival in Belgium. Like, that's what's important. And not saying you have to fly to Belgium to do that, but like, just having hobbies and having a life outside of work. And don't get me wrong, like, it feels good to achieve things and be productive. But yeah, I've really been making a conscious effort to just peel that away and figure out, you know, who am I without my business? Because I think that's another like trauma response, or that's another thing, is just tying your self-worth to your accomplishments and your achievements. And you know, who am I without that? And so that's been a whole nother journey. But I think that's super cool, because oftentimes entrepreneurs will, you know, go into this space being like, I want flexibility, I want to create my own hours and time. And then turns out that they've never felt more tied down and like they're working 24/7. And so it's really, yeah. I just commend you, because that's really cool, you know, to make that a priority.
Well, I haven't made that always a priority. That was like a more recent thing that I feel like I would always tell my clients when they would say, well, I can't do that. And I'd be like, well, why can't you? Like, yeah. You know, you're the only one holding yourself back. And then I'm like, yeah, well, why can't I? You know,
yeah, so right.
I
was
like, okay, maybe I should. But it hasn't always been that way. And I'm always fighting the type A tendency and like the perfectionist in me, which I feel like is just going to be like a constant battle for like the rest of my life, to like ground myself and like remind myself to release that control. Cause that's just like a huge part of who I am and always has been, but has not necessarily served me well. And it was just going to bring me to my question about, do you feel like this has impacted the business? Cause obviously like you've had so much success and that's praised so much in society, especially Americans, you know, like people who are type A and work really hard. It's like you're constantly like having that positive reinforcement. So you're going to just go. You've had so much success. Do you feel like this journey you've been on has impacted the way you do business? Do you see it in the business or just perhaps your relationship with your business?
Yes. Oh my gosh. This is something I'm currently like figuring my shit out on. So I can't give you the most, well-developed answer because I'm still working through it. But I think what I realized is, you know, even you just now being like, you guys are killing it, or, you know, friends who are like, you're successful. I'm like, every time that happens, it's like this ping of like, what? Like this imposter syndrome separation. And I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that like be fake humble, like, oh no, you know, it's like truly deep down. I'm like, am I? Like, I don't know. And so what it raises for me is like, when is it going to be enough? Like when, you know, like at what point am I going to be like, okay, I'm good. Like, I feel like my bucket is full, you know, check the box of like successful business. Now I can relax or now I can move on. And it's never going to be enough. And so I think that's also why in the past I've lived for this end event in the future of like when we exit, when we get acquired, you know, whatever that looks like, when we sell the business. And what I'm realizing along the way is, you know, these goals that I had early on, like getting into Whole Foods or, you know, XYZ, being on Shark Tank, like all these things that I thought were going to make me happy, they don't. Like maybe for a split second, you're like, oh, that's cool. Or like, it's fun when you can tell your parents and they get all excited, or, you know, like it's like a cool wow factor, you know, fun fact. And it's so fleeting. And so I think I'm in this place now where I'm like, we're about halfway through the business. You know, we've been doing it for about 4 years. And if we kind of were raising money right now, so we were doing all these projections of like, okay, if we were to sell the company, it would be in another like 4 years. So we're like at the halfway point. And I'm like, I'm fucking tired. Like I have about 4 more years of this shit. And like, I'm not going to lie to you. Like the longer you do something, the longer, you know, you grow a business, like the passion just fades. And I'm human. I'm not, you know, like just passionate about granola butter until I die. And like, I love what we're doing. Like it's better than any 9-to-5 I've ever had, but it's still work and it's still taxing and emotionally exhausting. And I think I'm just at this place now where I'm like, what am I doing? Like the last 4 years, I've missed out on a lot. I have missed out on, you know, a lot of my friendships have disintegrated because I haven't put the time and effort into keeping those alive. And so people on the outside, you know, the bigger we get, they keep telling me, oh, you guys are killing it, or, you know, I see you everywhere, blah, blah. And like, then there's this disconnect where I'm like, but I, like the bigger we get, the lonelier I feel, the bigger we get, like the more depressed I feel. Like, what is this correlation and why is this? It's almost like my brain is like, does not compute. Like, this is not what was supposed to happen. It's like, you know, your brain tells you the more successful you get, the happier you'll be, the more loved you'll feel. And it just hasn't been true for me. And, you know, I'm not like depressed. I can't leave my bed. Like, it's not something that I feel every day, but it's just been an interesting correlation to pay attention to. So again, like since doing and that was a huge realization during my psychedelic journey was like, you know, what really matters? Like you said, like love really matters, friendships really matter, community really matters. And so that's been something I've really been trying to prioritize is, yes, the business is important and I'm so proud of what we've built. And, you know, something that started in my parents' garage is now like we employ, you know, 30 people and they have families and like we're supporting those people and that's amazing. But that's not the point of my life. Like that's not one part of me. That's not who I am. And so it's like, it's time for me to nurture the other aspects of myself and not just live to work because that's just soul sucking. And that hasn't brought me joy and that hasn't brought me fulfillment. So that's where I am now. And I don't have it figured out. Like I still work a lot. And I think the number one step is, you know, I live in Philly. I don't really have a lot of friends here. I don't have a community here because I didn't prioritize that when we moved here a year and a half ago. And so I've started, you know, going on girl dates with some girlfriends and like trying to build up that network because I realized like this isn't sustainable what I'm doing. And, you know, having connections on social media is nice, but it's not really fulfilling. So yeah, authentically what is going on for me right now.
But it's great that you like are listening to that intuition and you're like receiving these messages and you're like, I feel like this, there's an interesting correlation between these two things. I mean, like so many people are just like, oh, I feel unhappy or I don't feel totally fulfilled. And I'm just going to like redirect that towards something else and like not actually look at what's happening, you know? And it's like, I just truly feel like the journey, it sounds so cliche as I say, but like, the journey is like, oh, it's always happening. It's like one thing, then the next thing. And then you're like, ah, yes, I figured it out. And then it's like, poof. Yeah. And it's like, now you're ready for this. And you're like, oh, great. Thanks. Right. So, I mean, it is, I do those feelings like the next step. It's like this version of yourself now, like ready for whatever's, you know, like coming next, like this next evolved version. And I think that's like the case, especially for entrepreneurs, because like, it's like so attached to your identity and you take so much like ownership. It is like your child, like it truly is. And so there's like so much emotion in that. And so I feel like it is like a journey, that relationship with your business and where and how you take it. Like I feel my business is a little bit different, but I feel a calling to like, this is really random, but the Spain thing made me think I really want to launch a business in the Airbnb space and just do something that allows me to have even more freedom to where like, why am I working so much? Basically, like the whole reason I wanted to have a business is to not work. Like I wanted to like have time to just do what I love. I love my business, but I love my family more. I want to like spend time with my kids. I want to learn more like somatic work and then write a program on that and then go off and do a retreat and, you know, just like just do things that I love. And I'm like going back to the, like working a million hours and my operations manager was like, why are you writing another program? There's like literally no need to do that. Like you should just like stop doing that. And like, and I just always do that, you know? And so I think it's like a journey and it's like something as entrepreneurs, we're always like, I don't know, like fighting the urge to be married to, and then like identifying like where the happiness really lies. Because we pour so much into it. It's just different. I feel it's very different than like any other job I've had. Like being an entrepreneur, it's like something so hard to like explain. And even more so perhaps having a product, because I have a digital service, but I don't have anything I can hold in my hand. So I can only imagine.
Yeah, totally. No, but I resonate with that a lot. It's like that urge to create, that urge to be productive, but then, you know, and I feel that so strongly. Like if I'm just, you know, on vacation for like when we were in Mexico for like 2 weeks, towards the end of it, I'm like, I can't wait to get back to work because I'm just like, I can't relax. And so it's like that fine balance of, you know, how do I like even say one day when we sell the business or I'm done with it or whatever, like I just never see myself sitting around. Maybe I need that, but yeah, it's just, I just feel like I'm not wired that way. And speaking of Spain, it's interesting kind of what you've been manifesting because I'm planning a trip to, I mean, we don't know where we're going yet. Maybe Spain, maybe Italy, with a girlfriend. And we're just going to work from Europe for 2 weeks in like the first, you know, few weeks of October, because I was like, I work from home every day. I don't have any reason why I have to be in Philly. And I'm like, this is why I started my business. Like I have a team who's managing shit. Like now is the time. And there's still that voice in the back of my head, like you were saying, that's like, should I be doing this? Is this irresponsible? Like, you know, is this going to set a bad example? Like, I don't know. There's just all these voices. It's like, no, Allie, like this is what you worked so hard to build. So you can go work from Europe for 2 weeks. Like, why not? And even if I didn't, like I could also just go and take vacation. Like, why not? So yeah, it's funny how you work so hard to get to that place. And then once the place is, or you arrive there, it's still like, you don't give yourself the permission for some reason. You're just like, what, well, when is it going to be enough? Like, you know, so yeah, that's something that's just, I don't know, I'm working through.
That's going to be so fun. You definitely, definitely take advantage. I wish I would have done more of that before I had kids. And I don't mean to like always like say that, but it's just that like a lot of my friends haven't had kids and they're like not doing these things. And I'm like, you really, really should do it. Like it's going to be 18 more years where I can do that without having to worry.
Yeah.
Like realistically, like as a mother, like you can't just like forget about your children. Like, so it's like, even if I go, I'm thinking, you know, like, ooh, you know, is this happening or that happening? But I would also say it's an interesting exercise of like a dopamine training. Like obviously we've just trained ourselves to get the dopamine hit from working.
Yeah.
And so some of the things we do like in my programs is just like training that hit from the mundane, quote unquote. So like just the sitting or whatever you want it to be, like the breathing or like the feet on the grass in a good book. Like, and then you can get that same high and that same hit and like intrinsically be motivated. But unfortunately, as an entrepreneur, because you have to, quote unquote, we feel or have been taught that you have to exchange that time and put in that effort, we're getting that dopamine from that. And so we're like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? It's because we've trained ourselves from like that dopamine standpoint. And in reality, time doesn't have to be exchanged for money. Like that is such like, I feel like an industrial way of looking at it. Like as an entrepreneur, like you can be very wealthy and not exchange any of your time for it. But I've been trying to do a lot of the dopamine training on that, like to get the joy and motivate myself to do those other things and then have the clarity of like the outsourcing or just like spending less time and realizing that's 2 hours I spend on Instagram that I didn't actually have to spend and I could finish my day at 3. And like, I don't know why I haven't been doing that. Wow. You know what I mean?
Isn't that so eye-opening? And you're just like, yeah, even when you're an entrepreneur, like I think we have set in our minds like, okay, I have to work 9 to 5. And like sometimes, yeah, maybe if you have client stuff or whatever, but like sometimes, you know, it's like, why? Like, why am I pushing myself if I'm like not feeling it? You know, maybe I'll work less one day and then I work longer on another day when I'm, you know, really feeling motivated or whatever. Like, but for some reason in my head, I'm like, I have to, you know, work till a certain hour. And it's like, says who? Like, it's just kind of questioning all those beliefs is just a mind fuck. It's funny.
It is. Well, okay. I'm sure we could go on forever. Yes. Here I am being, we don't need to work, but everyone needs to get back to their work. Yeah. But it is the morning for you. I'm conscious. So I would just ask as my last question, do you have anything on the agenda that you want to try next or deep dive into? I know you said you were taking a bit of a break, but just out of curiosity.
Yeah. I mean, the breath work is something I really want to look into because I've had such transformational experiences with breath work. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but it's it feels like you're on drugs and it's literally just your breath. And that's really crazy. And I've had, yeah, just very, like I've processed a lot of emotions through that. I'm trying to think what else. That's kind of the main one. I'm trying not to throw like too many things into the pot right now because I have a tendency to do that and it's just like a lot. And then maybe the past life regression if I can find someone who's, I'll keep you posted if my therapist knows anyone who's legit because that's something I'm just super curious about. But yeah, those are the two that I'm focusing on.
Well, thank you so much for being so open and just like, yeah, sharing openly as you do, because I know it'll help people. I feel like everyone listening here is on some sort of healing journey. It's like literally my brand. So yeah. I love to like tackle it from all of the different perspectives. And yeah, I'll link everything in the show notes. And when you find someone, if you find someone for past life regression, if anyone's interested, I'll share that on my stories. but anything else I left out or anything else you'd want to add?
No, this was awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.